Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship in First Omagh this morning. It's lovely to have you here with us today. Our focus on this morning's service is on the third series of proximity, number three, on entitled Frayed, and it's looking at the fallenness of this world and the impact that sin has upon the world. So we'll come before God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we bow before you this morning, acknowledging that you are Lord over all the earth, and we are just a part of your wonderful creation. Forgive us, we pray, for thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, and for failing to bow the knee to your will for our lives. Forgive us also, O Lord, for failing to worship you with all that we have and with all that we are. Meet with us this morning as we sing your praises, as we read your word, and as we offer heartfelt prayer. Transform our minds, feed our souls, and strengthen our wills to obey your will during this hour of worship, that we might become more like Jesus Christ, our loving Saviour, and our faithful friend, in whose name we pray. Amen. We open our service of worship with a hymn 221, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." We'll sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 6 of hymn 221. Let us stand and worship God with our tongues.
Thank you.
First part of our scripture reading this morning will be read for us by Anne Stark, and it is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. This can be found on page 5 of the Old Testament section of the Bibles in the pews. Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 1.
The disobedience of man. Now the snake was the most cunning animal the Lord God had made. The snake asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat fruit from any tree in the garden?" "We may eat the fruit of any tree in the garden," the woman answered, "except the tree in the middle of it. God told us not to eat the fruit of that tree or even touch it. If we do, we will die." The snake replied, "That's not true. You will not die. God said that because he knows that when you eat it, you will be like God and know what is good and what is bad." The woman saw how beautiful the tree was and how good its fruit would be to eat. She thought how wonderful it would be to become wise. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband. He also ate it. As soon as they had eaten it, they were given understanding and realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves. That evening, they heard the Lord God walking in the garden. They hid from him among the trees. But the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid and hid from you because I was naked." "Who told you you were naked?" God asked. "Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat?" The man answered, "The woman you put here with me gave me the fruit, and I ate it." The Lord God asked the woman, "Why did you do this?" She replied, "The snake tricked me into eating it."
Thank you, Anne. If the children would like to come to the front, I have some things I'd like to talk to you about this morning. There we go. Plenty of room for everybody, isn't there? So, last week, when we were in church, what did we... Oh, are you all right? You're not okay? Oh, do you want to go back to Mummy? Who's this? Oh, no. Yes, will you go to Granny? There we go. Oh, honestly, I didn't do anything. Now, that's what we're going to talk about. Now, you're not going to believe me. Anyway. So last week, what did we look at in church? Can anybody remember the... Creation, that's great. Okay, I guess. We looked at creation and how wonderful God's world was, and all the wonderful things that God had made, the trees and the leaves and the flowers and the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and all the animals on the world and men and women. And God said that it was very good. Do you remember? Isn't that great? Well, this morning we're going to follow on that story. And the next bit of the story isn't as good as the first bit of the story. Because in the next bit of the story, we see that things didn't stay good. Things got quite bad and sad. Now, I wonder here, have any of you ever done anything wrong? Anybody done anything wrong? Put your hand up. And we're not going to just name and shame the children. Anybody here done anything wrong? Would you put your hand up? And if you think that you're really, really bad, you can put both hands up and wave them all around. Because, you know, no matter how good we try to be, we sometimes get things wrong, don't we? We say that wrong thing to somebody that hurts them. And I promise I didn't say it to Lewis. But he was obviously feeling very sad this morning. And sometimes when you're feeling sad in the world, you cry, don't you? Because you're sad and it's not good. Now, sometimes you might have done something wrong, but that you don't admit it. Anybody ever said it was somebody else that did it? Yeah, a wee bit sheepish. I think I'd have to put my hands up like this and wave like this. Because sometimes if we get caught out at something, you say, well, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't my fault, it was her, it was him, or they made me do it. Have you ever said that? They made me do it. And that's because in this world as well, there are things that tempt us to do things that we know that are wrong. And things that are going to make things worse for other people and worse for ourselves. Things that will make people sad. Because I'm sure whenever somebody does something bad on you, it makes you sad, doesn't it? And sometimes when you've done something and you see how on somebody else and you see how sad they are, it also makes you sad, doesn't it? Because you realise that you were really at fault. And so in this world, there are things that are bad and things that make us sad. And you know something? Sometimes, though we try so very hard, we can't help it. And I just want to use this little illustration of the world. If you imagine that this is the world, and it's lovely and perfect and round and good, isn't it? An egg, yes, Josh, and it's lovely and perfect, and that's the world that God created, and it was good. But because of the bad and the sad things that we do you know what happens to the world? Cracks. And it's all broken. What do you think of that? It's all broken. It's still the same world, isn't it? But it's fractured and it's broken. And it would be very difficult for us to heal that again, isn't it? Sometimes that's what happens in our lives with the relationships that we have with God. The wrong things that we do in this world break that relationship between us and God. And it also breaks the relationship that we have with one another, with our brothers and sisters, with our friends, with our parents, with other people who live in our world. And sometimes we think it's never going to be possible to make that whole again. And in our own strength, that's right. We can't make it whole because once it's broken, it's broken. But you know that the bad news of the sin coming into this world is not the end of the story. Anybody know the good news of the story? The good news that we celebrate with and we remember sometimes at a different season of the year with another egg. The good news of the coming of Jesus. And he's the one who brings new life. And he's the one that's able to take our broken and our fragile world and our broken relationships and all the wrong things that we have done. And through his giving of his life to us, we can have new life in Jesus. And he can help us to make things whole and to heal wrong and to help put the world right. So as Christians, as people who trust and believe in Jesus, we work with him to make things right. How could we make things right with our friend if we've fallen out with them? How could we make it right? Say sorry and speak to them. Or if they're the ones who've hurt you, how could you make it right with them if they've hurt you? That's a harder one, isn't it? Because you have to be willing to forgive them and to say, I forgive you for hurting me. Please let us be friends. And that's a really, really, really hard thing to do. But God can help us to do that and can help us to seek to heal the relationships that we have with one another so that we can live in a better world. So I hope that you remember that we live in a world that is fragile and is easily broken and can be broken through our words and through our actions, but that through faith in Jesus, he can help us to make the broken things whole again. And he does that because he loves us so much. So we're going to sing our next hymn, which tells us of the love that God has for us and his willingness to help us to live better lives in this world. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given, because in that book we find out all about God's love for us and Jesus' love for us. So we're going to sing this hymn. We're going to sing verses 1 and verse 2, and then it'll be time for you to go out to Jigsaw and the older ones out to Blast and the little ones out to Tots. So hymn 209, let's stand together and worship God. You will all have had a copy of the church notices. I just want to draw your attention to a couple of those. Next Sunday morning is our Communion Sunday service at 11:30, where we'll worship together in the act of communion. As in November, the children will still come to church next Sunday, and then they will leave after the children's talk. And go out to their various classes. So please do bring the children next Sunday as normal, and then we will have our communion, celebrate communion then after the children leave for their classes. And then tomorrow evening, at our next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, we will have a Thanksgiving service here in the church. And again, a warm welcome extended to all of you to come to give thanks for the communion that we have received and the communion that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there'll also then be a short service of communion for anyone unable to be out in the morning, or for those who are teaching in our Sunday school classes, that they can come in the evening to receive communion. The only other thing is to highlight that if you are staying for the Sunday lunch bunch today, can you please wait in the hallway until the children have left from their Sunday school classes before going into the hall, so that they have completely finished their lessons. So you may wish to take a seat in the pew for a little while longer before you go through into the Rowan Hall, just to give parents and children enough time to gather up and leave the hall free for you to access it. Those are the announcements. The rest you'll be able to read at your leisure. I'd like to invite one of our elders and our Congregational Secretary, Arthur Rainey, to come forward and to lead us in the prayers for others. Arthur.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect this morning on the week of prayer for Christian unity, which has just ended, we remember in our prayers the teaching of Jesus, which should be the unifying force for all Christians of whatever denomination, that we should love one another, care for each other, and place the needs of others before our own. It's easy for us to be complacent because we have very little experience of the challenges and sufferings which face those in some other parts of the world. We don't know what it's like to be starving or to be displaced from our homes by the devastation of civil war, or to be swamped by floodwaters arising from climate change, or to be threatened by wildfires burning out of control. Help us to be constantly mindful of the needs of others and the challenges facing them. Lead us to a greater understanding of those needs and challenges, and of ways in which we can make a difference through prayer and opportunities for positive action. We remember that tomorrow has been designated as Holocaust Memorial Day, the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. We are conscious of the horror and inhumanity which was inflicted upon so many in those dark days of the Second World War, when intolerance, discrimination, and hatred were allowed to go unchallenged. Help us to consider the part which we personally can play in challenging intolerance and ensuring that cultural, social, and racial differences between people are respected and celebrated rather than being a source of hatred and division. We pray for those who are called to political leadership here in Northern Ireland, nationally at Westminster, and elsewhere in the world. May the example of your Son Jesus help them to understand that true positive leadership is more about service to others than about ambition and personal advancement. Give them the gift of empathy so that they may appreciate and respect the circumstances and opinions of their political opponents. Help them to resist the temptation to be influenced by short-term political expediency. And give them the courage and strength of character to make difficult and unpopular decisions where these can be shown to be necessary for the common good. During the coming week, our country will be progressing into an uncertain future as it leaves the European Union. Give our leaders wisdom, common sense, and a clear understanding of the issues which need to be addressed in the months ahead, so that with goodwill, they may negotiate the best possible outcome for everyone who has concerns about the future. We pray for the Queen at this time of turbulence and instability within her family. Support her and strengthen her as she addresses the conflicting pressures of family life and public scrutiny, and enable her to gain reassurance from the certainty that she has lived her life steadfastly in your service and in the service of her country. We pray for those within our own congregation and elsewhere who are suffering from loneliness, ill health, or financial worries, and for those who have been bereaved and are enduring the loss of a loved one. May they feel the assurance of your love, support, and comforting presence in their lives. We pray especially for our young people who have to cope with so many challenges and distractions in this complex modern world. Give them the resilience to resist the many temptations which come their way, and the courage to stand up for what they know to be right. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Arthur, for that heartfelt prayer. We come now to continue to worship God as we sing our next hymn, which is hymn 407, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Thank you.
We continue our scripture reading in Genesis chapter 3, where Anne left off, starting again at verse 14. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, page 6 of the Old Testament section of the Bibles in the pews. Let us continue to listen to God's word. Then the Lord said to the snake, "You will be punished for this. You alone of all the animals must bear this curse. From now on you will crawl on your belly, and you will have to eat dust as long as you live. I will make you and the woman hate each other. Her offspring and yours will always be enemies. Her offspring will crush your head, and you will bite their heel." And he said to the woman, "I will increase your trouble in pregnancy and your pain in giving birth. In spite of this, you still will have desire for your husband, yet you will be subject to him." And he said to the man, "You listened to your wife and ate the fruit which I told you not to eat. Because of what you have done, the ground will be under a curse. You will have to work hard all your life to make it produce enough food for you. It will produce weeds and thorns, and you will have to eat wild plants. You will have to work hard and sweat to make the soil produce anything, until you go back to the soil from which you were formed. You were made from soil, and you will become soil again." Adam named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all human beings. And the Lord God made clothes out of animal skins for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Now the man has become like one of us and has knowledge of what is good and what is bad. He must not be allowed to take fruit from the tree that gives life, to eat it and live forever." So the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden and made him cultivate the soil from which he had been formed. Then at the east side of the garden he put living creatures and a flaming sword which turned in all directions. This was to keep anyone from coming near the tree that gives life. Amen, and we thank God for his word to us. Yesterday, many Year 7 pupils received AQE results. For some, the results will have been a cause for celebration because their acceptance into the school of their choice was more or less guaranteed. For others, it brought a time of disappointment as their score indicated that there was little or no chance of getting into the school of their choice. Whilst others received results that put them into a time of uncertainty because they weren't sure if their score was good enough to get them into the school of their choice. And then, of course, we had Year 7 pupils who didn't sit the AQE exam because they had already decided what school they were going to. The scores of the AQE results are factual. They are scores from a written test seeking to assess a child's academic ability. But the score that they achieved will have an impact on the child who receives the score. Not just them, but also on their families and on their teachers. And how they all respond to that score will have an even greater impact, maybe even a more longer lasting impact on those children and also on their peers. Some children will respond with encouraging words and including others who maybe scored less than them or children who didn't even sit the test. For them, they'll seek to maintain the friendships that they had before the test began. Some children who had low scores will be happy and delighted for their friends who have achieved high scores and will get into the school of their choice. But sadly, there will be children in our schools who will be bullied and harassed because because of a number, a result of a test. They may be bullied and harassed because there are feelings of resentment and anger and envy from those who didn't score as well. Or there may be bullying and harassment for other children who didn't score so well, being bullied and ridiculed by people who feel superior or proud or judgmental of the score that they got. That will happen in the playground, despite the teachers trying to stop it from happening. Sadly, it may also happen in the homes of those children, where parents will react in a way which tells one child they're better than the other, or will be ridiculing the person next door because of, oh, they're swats or they're high achievers or, you know, whatever it happens to be, or judging them because they'll only be able to go to the secondary school and not to the grammar school. So we see that even in the setting of a simple test, testing someone's academic ability, the impact of sin in the world and this one-upmanship between one human being and another. And it just doesn't happen with AQE test results. It happens with many other situations in life. The jobs that people have, the homes that people have, the families that people have or don't have. People judging, assessing, people feeling anger and envy that they don't have what somebody else has, or resentful of the privileged status of the other. Why is that the case? Not just here in Omagh, but right across the world where differences exist. And the answer is found in Genesis chapter 3. Anger, hatred, envy, pride, judgmentalism are all a result of the sin that is in this world and of the sin that is in our lives. When we choose to turn from God's good, perfect, created, ordered world and choose instead to follow paths of our own making, away from God and his good and perfect world, then destruction, disorder, and ultimately death itself will be the result of our actions. In the Garden of Eden, humanity had all that it needed. God had made us rulers over all he had created. He had put us in charge of everything, over the created world and all its living creatures. Adam and Eve, our ancestors, had access to the very tree of life, the fruit that would keep them eternally in the beautiful world that God had created for them. They had it all. They even received a warning from God: do not eat the fruit from this tree, because if you do, it will bring death. They could eat from every other tree, even the tree of life, but not this one tree. God warned them, and God told them the consequences of that. They chose to disobey God. They chose to turn their back on the one person who ruled over them. They ruled over everything else in their world. Yet they were unwilling to listen and to obey the word of God. How did that happen? It happened by something that was lower in God's created world than they were, one of God's creatures that they had rule over. And the serpent said, did God really say that? Did he really say that? And the woman, she said, he did say that, and he did say that. And he told us not even to touch that fruit So both the serpent and the woman were beginning to stray from the words of God. And then the serpent went from insinuation to direct lie. You will not die if you eat that fruit. So who did they believe? Almighty God, the Creator, their Creator, who had given them everything? Or this lower subject in the world? They were tempted by the knowledge of good and evil. They were tempted to become like God. The serpent said, you will be like God if you eat this fruit. You will be his equal if you eat this fruit. And so they took the fruit and they ate it. And as a result, the warning that God had given to them became a reality. They were full of shame. They recognized that they were naked. They tried to cover their shame. And when the Lord God came to walk with them in the garden, they hid behind the tree. Isn't that often the case when we recognize our own faults and failings? We are full of shame and we hide. We remove ourselves from our relationships. We separate ourselves from that which is good, that which is God, and we hide. We hide our actions. We hide our shame. And we do what Adam and Eve did. When God challenged Adam, he said, it wasn't me, it was her. She gave me the fruit. And when he challenged Eve, it wasn't me, it was the serpent. He told me to do it. Passing the blame, not taking responsibility for your actions, refusing to be open and honest before God. And as a result, relationships were broken. Relationships between God and his wonderful creation. Relationships between those within the created world. Broken relationships between men and women. And we have suffered the consequences of that down through the centuries. Broken relationships between ourselves and the rest of God's created world. That came through an act of disobedience. And sadly, that repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats in this world. And the consequences of that sinfulness in this world is devastation and is destruction and it is death. Thankfully, as I said to the children, we know the end of the story. We know that God in his mercy has not abandoned us to the curse of sinfulness, but he has sent his son Jesus to be our savior, to live that perfect life and to sacrifice his life for our sinfulness. We know the end of the story, but we have to accept the reason why Jesus had to come. We have to accept that the brokenness and the fallenness and the fragile nature of this world is because of our actions. God created this world for us to live in and to rule over and to enjoy. But we have messed it up. We are all sinful and fallen people. We all put our hands up whenever I said, has anyone done something wrong in their lives? Every hand went up. My hand went up twice and was waving all around because I know that I don't get things right. I create problems and I get things into messy situations. And that's a consequence of our actions. We have to accept our responsibility. It's no good saying it's not my fault. I did that when I was younger. It's not my fault. It's Martin's fault. It's Ian's fault. It's Colin's fault. It's not my fault. It was my friend who told me to do it. It's not my fault. Everybody else has it. It's not my fault. I want to be like them. You have to accept your own responsibility for the fallenness in this world and to recognize that we do deserve separation from God for all eternity. We have to recognize that because of the sinfulness in our world, because of the anger and the resentment and the hatred and the pride and the selfishness and the greed that's in our lives, our world is in a messy place. Our actions, not their actions, my actions, not his actions. That instead of living in a world that God created where love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and self-control exist, we live in a world that is broken. And we have to accept the consequences of that. And sometimes the consequences of that sin will be because of our own direct sin. That we will suffer because we have done something wrong. But there are also times when we will suffer and we haven't done anything wrong. We all know the sorrow of death and of losing a loved one. We all know the trial and the difficulty of coping with a terminal illness or a debilitating disease, either for ourselves or for loved ones. Not because they've done anything wrong. We know the devastation that is caused when the loss of innocent lives. Not because they've done anything wrong, but because of the sinfulness that's in this world. This morning I looked at the top 5 headlines on the UTV website. 3 children found dead in a house in Dublin. Their mother in hospital. A note left in the home. Police not looking for anyone else. Number 2, someone charged with attempted murder for stabbing in Newry last night. Seamus Mallon, one of our politicians, had died. The Foreign Office warned of a virus that was infecting not only China but now travelling around the world and warned us about taking precautions from this deadly virus. And then the 5th headline was climate change. What can we do about it? So there in the top 5 headlines of UTV news website, we see the consequences of sin in the world. Some caused directly by someone's inhumanity towards another. Some caused indirectly because of the way that we live in this world. Some caused because of the sinfulness of this world and the separation that we have from God through death. World news, there were 31 people killed in an earthquake. And in my email I received from Christian Solidarity Worldwide that yesterday in Sudan, 32 people were killed and 24 injured during an attack on a village in a disputed oil-rich region of Sudan. Greed, envy, control, resulting in the deaths of many people. Families in this congregation this week have had to deal with numerous consequences of the fallenness of this world. Consequences in their own lives, in the death of loved ones, having to sit by the side of a sick relative, dealing with the fallout from a family dispute, coping with disappointment and financial worries, dealing with health concerns or relationship breakdowns. Sin and its consequences are all around us, but it is not the way God designed the world to be. Last week we looked at how God created a wonderful world which worked in harmony with one another. But because of our rebellion and our failure to walk according to God's ways, our world is a desolate place. And our relationship with God is tainted with shame. Our relationships with one another are strained by blame. Our relationship with our world is broken, and we suffer as a consequence. That's the reality that we face today. But thankfully, it is not the answer, because God has a new hope and a new purpose to give us through our faith in Christ, and we will look at that in sermons to come in the weeks ahead as we progress through this proximity resource. But we must recognise that the mess that we are in is no one's fault but our own. Collectively, throughout time, we are suffering the consequences of our actions, of humanity's actions in this world. And we need God's help to restore the balance, his help to right the wrong, his help to order, to bring order from chaos, and to bring good from evil. We cannot do that on our own. We need the help of God to bring healing and to bring hope and to bring restoration to our broken and our fragile world. God's story revealed in the Bible reveals to us the wonderful good news that we are made in the image of God, that the world he created is good, that Jesus, our Saviour, has saved the world because of his sacrifice on Calvary. But we have to accept that good news and walk in obedience with that in this world to ever make any difference in the world today. So this week, I'm asking you to do a thing which is going to be difficult. It's going to be negative. But I hope that it will help you to have a reality check on what's happening in this world and an understanding of the brokenness in this world. And so I want you to reflect upon the brokenness of the world, upon the brokenness of our relationships with one another, and the brokenness of our relationship with God, and to see that we play our part in bringing shame and sorrow and sin into this world. And then take time to confess that before God and to receive his healing and his hope and his restoration and the new life that he offers through faith in Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the wonder and the beauty that is all around us in the wonderful world you've created. We thank you, Lord, for the love and the truth and the grace and the hope that exists in this world. But we are conscious too, O Lord, of the fallenness of our world and the fallenness of ourselves before you, a holy and a mighty God. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would call us back to yourself, that we would be willing to acknowledge our brokenness and our sinfulness before you and receive your healing and restoration, not just for ourselves, but for our neighbours and our loved ones and our world, and especially for our relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, who makes things whole and new and fresh, and we ask that you would give us courage and faith and strength to trust in him and to be your light bringers into this world of darkness, bringing hope and healing and transformation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Your offering to God will now be received. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would take these, our offerings, and that you would use them and us to bring about your transforming love in our world, bringing hope and healing and joy and life and love to all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the brokenness of our world, we rejoice that Jesus Christ, our Saviour, brings his light and his love into the world. And so we will bring our service to a close as we sing hymn 221, Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Jesus, light of your world is shining. Jesus, light of the world is shining.
And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.